This is a previously recorded episode. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Tell me you love me. I need a good laugh. I'm holy water. You need a good bath. Whiskey and perfume. You had a nightcap. Now how about that? A perfect stranger. He's got a bullet with your name in the chamber. I'm body oaking, rearranger. You feel my danger. This time I'm a bitch. Can't say last word. All your excuses keep coming faster. But your mouth cannot run my blaster. This time a bitch gets the last word. This time a bitch gets the last word. Don't try to lie, cause I know your passwords. Against the office door. Now every memory's a lie you were telling. You go off the victim and I go off the felon.
This time a bitch gets the last word. All your excuses keep coming faster. But your mouth cannot run my blaster. This time a bitch gets the last word. This time a bitch gets the last word. Don't try to lie, cause I know your passwords. Now here's your violin.
Welcome to the Nooner Show. I'm Jay Dubs.
And I'm Denise Brennan Nelson.
And we're broadcasting live from PodcastDetroit.com from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan. And it's hump day.
Your nostrils didn't flare that time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Here we go again.
Just wondering if you'd remember.
Mm-hmm. Now, okay. So
it is hump day. It's Wednesday, and it is starting to feel a little bit more like winter.
Like Thanksgiving next week.
Like Thanksgiving. Ugh. Not winter, because it's supposed to be 66 today, but...
Is it really?
Yeah.
But it's supposed to be cold this weekend.
It is.
So I think we're getting there.
We might get some snow on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm just going to embrace it. I've decided I'm not going to complain.
Fight it anymore.
I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to embrace it, and it's going to be a splendid
winter.
Yeah. And, there you know, you now go. That we're almost through February, bring it on, baby.
Oh, yeah, really.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, I know we don't like to talk about the news because we're not that kind of a show. Not that it does not affect us or weigh on us in any way, but we do want to acknowledge what happened over the weekend in Paris, and our thoughts and prayers go out to everybody in France and really all over the world because it's affected all of us. And I know our CEO, Rebecca, actually lived in Paris for a brief time, and she has some pretty good friends there. So has she been in communication with anyone? Or
She has. As a matter of fact, Saturday, as you know, we went wedding dress shopping, and we hadn't heard anything about it until Gina showed up that morning, and she told us about it, and the first thing Rebecca did was message 16, who is a friend of Rebecca's. She met her in high school. 16 was a foreign exchange student from Paris.
And that's her name, 16?
That's her name, 16.
Okay.
Yes, S-I-X-T-I-N-E, 16.
Is that how you... That's not how you pronounce it.
Is it? Believe it or not, it is. Oh. I asked many times, and she'd come over. And, of course, you know, they say it with their great little 16. You know, I'm not even going to go there because I can't do it. But so she messaged her. 16 at the time was in Austria. She's quite the world traveler. But Becca and 16 became really good friends. Becca's visited her in Paris. They live blocks away from the Eiffel Tower and where all of this went down. And I asked Rebecca to ask 16 some questions after a couple of days passed, and I hope you don't mind. And she has another friend. His name's Jerome, who lives in New York City now, but he also sent her some thoughts about it. But if I could, and it's not too long, but I want to read to you the response that 16 sent to Rebecca about the attacks. Her English is pretty good, but there's a few things, and I'm just going to read it the way she wrote it. She said, "I think it's really important to remember and pray for all the people who lost their lives on Friday night and their loved ones. Seeing all the vigils full of love in Paris, France, and throughout the world is truly a wonderful thing, and I was beyond touched to see how much love and caring people are capable of. It shows how we are all part of the same world, and we all belong to humanity." The Parisian motto illustrates, she goes on to say this perfectly, the idea that even though we temple, we still stay afloat, and it is a powerful thing. When I first saw the news, I was indeed worried about my family and friends. I am fortunate that they were all okay. The attention to Paris is quite understandable due to what happened on Friday. However, I do think it's important not to forget that these kinds of attacks are happening all over the world, Lebanon, Nigeria, and even though it may be far from home, we are all impacted by it. I'm going to edit a little bit, but it might be selfish, she went on to say, but I am glad I was not in any of these places on Friday. However, I would not exchange my life in Paris for any other place in the world, and I am present now to pray for the lives lost, to drink beers at the terrace of a cafe, listen to music, party with friends, laugh, and most of all, love and love life. Then she ended it with, I hope this will help your mom. It was actually a good exercise for me because I hadn't really had the time to take a chance and think about this in a personal way. So thank you. Now, I went to look up the Parisian motto, and this is what I found. It's, quote, tossed by the waves, but she does not sink.
Wow.
And, you know, the thing between what 16 said and Rebecca's other friend, Jerome, they both pointed out that this happens all over the world, but because the news isn't there, you know, in these other countries, we don't hear about it as much.
Right.
And we're talking about, you know, kids, you know, they're in their 20s, that they're not, you know, in their 40s and 50s and all of that, but they're very well aware of the fact that, yes, a lot of media is talking about what happened in Paris, but it's happening all over the world.
Right.
So, yes, you're right. Our hearts, you know, feel for these people. And
Well, she couldn't have said it any summed it up any better.
Well, and that's
really, I mean, it just goes to show you, united we stand all over the world,
right?
Regardless of what the differences are when it comes to freedom,
right?
So, all right.
So, yes,
I heard you were dancing last night.
I heard you were rubbing elbows.
I was. I was having a really good time. You should have been with me.
I would have.
I heard
been.
You were rubbing something else, twerking, whatever you were doing.
So, just for our listeners, in case they weren't, you know, with us last week, my husband and I are taking dance classes.
Yeah.
We're learning how to waltz with Rebecca and AJ and Neil and Gina, the AJ's parents. So, yes, we had our second dance class last night, but you go first. Okay. I want to hear about what you did.
So I went to the Detroit Music Awards pre-party last night, and it was the first time I had ever gone, and it was just a blast. First of all, it was packed, and the first person I saw when I walked in, guess who it was? He had a huge circle of people around him.
Easy.
You got
it? Oh, I knew it.
Yeah, he was there, so we chatted a little bit, and he has a lot going on. He's going on tour in the spring, so he wants to come back on the show in the spring. I told him absolutely.
Great.
So he was there.
Was he with...
No. Okay. Mysterious Josh is in California. That's what we're calling him now. Yeah, sunglasses.
I couldn't even remember his name. He was so mysterious.
Mysterious Josh. He's in California. I said, what is he? Is it getting too cold for him here?
So, he can't wear his flip-flops
anymore.
Yeah,
no kidding. But we're going to have them back on in the spring.
Good. Who else was there?
Oh, gosh. T-Money Green was there. There were quite a few people and a lot of new people that I met. We had such a good time. Alan Turner.
He was there?
He was there. He's going to be on the show on the 9th, which, by the way, tomorrow is his birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Alan.
Yeah. So, and he's looking forward to the show. But he is just a cool guy. Really? Cool guy. Yeah. So,
I'm excited to meet him.
Oh, you're going to have fun.
Good. I wish I could have gone with you last night because it sounds like you had a great time and you did some networking and you promoted the Nooner Show.
I did. I was working while you were twerking. That was a rhyme.
Well, we had a great time dancing until the instructor wanted to dance with Bob.
Oh, really?
No, it was so precious. I wish I would have had my camera on me. But yeah, he wanted to show Bob how to do something, you know.
Oh, it's a guy.
It's a guy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. If it had been a woman, he would have been fine with that.
Okay.
But this guy put his hands out and said, you know, let me show you.
Just
and
see Bob.
Bob's face kind of went red and like, well, what? You know, and we all were laughing. And the guy's like, oh, get over yourself.
That's great.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's a 45-minute class, but it goes by like the end of the class. And it's like, why can't workouts go that fast?
Yeah.
You know?
How many weeks?
Well, that was our first of the 10. So 9 more weeks.
Oh, okay.
Mm. The first class was free. That was so they could assess how many classes we would need. And when they came out and said, well, we think you'll
need 6 months.
When's the wedding?
Yeah.
We only have 4.5 months. But no, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Learning something new and, you know, being close with your partner and all that good stuff. So
I can't wait to see you guys dance.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you're coming to Key West to see
us
dance.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
I think I might come just to see that part.
You should. Well, hopefully we'll have a YouTube video or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Bob, if he's listening right now, he's like, no.
He won't go back to the lessons.
We're not having a YouTube video. So.
Okay. So did you read Skim?
After you pointed out, I read it.
You're
then
the one that got me turned on to that newsletter.
I know. It's a great newsletter. You get it online.
I love it.
And you have to
subscribe.
It
just bullet points all the news.
Yeah, it skims the news for you.
Yep, exactly.
I love their...
they started.
Yes, they have a great little flair.
It's two women that started
it. I know,
it.
Young, very young women, compared to us, anyway.
Everybody's young.
Compared to us. So tell them,
the new breakup shop they were talking about. So if you want to, if you need an exit strategy from a relationship you're in now, you can sign up with the breakup shop. And it's only $10, and they will customize a text and send it to the person you want to break up.
Now,
I could never do that.
No.
I could never break up
with
somebody
to hear
via
about
text.
This. Well,
that would feel horrible.
Well, if you don't want text, they'll do a letter for you.
For $20.
Yeah. Or they'll do
a phone call for $29.
And they'll do the whole breakup for you.
Wait,
you
there's more.
What?
For $80, you get a box full of breakup goodies, including a Netflix gift card. Yes.
It's
this
like
is
a little
true.
Token.
It's all over the internet. They were two Canadian brothers, and apparently one of the brothers was ghosted, which I didn't know what that meant. Just goes to show how old I am.
Yeah, no, I have no idea what it means.
Well, girlfriend just didn't ever show up again.
Disappeared.
And he thought that was very insensitive, and they decided that there's all these dating sites, so why shouldn't there be breakup sites that you can go to and have someone do the messy work for you? Wouldn't that be more sensitive than
nothing at all?
And more lucrative, of course. Let's face it.
I mean, I don't know. I think that if they don't care to not say anything at all, they're probably not going to spend money to send you a goodie basket.
That's right.
To send you on your way if they can't make a phone call. But that's my personal.
Well, their mission is everyone deserves to be single.
I agree with that.
Well, and what they do, they think this is a really great part of the business. They actually, if you contact them, they ask some questions about the relationship, and then they try to make it a personalized text or personalized letter. And one of the things that I loved is they gave an example of a letter that they would send for you. And this is, I'm just going to read it real quick. Dear Gordon, we regret to inform you that your girlfriend Lindsay is breaking up with you. Although you've had a good run and shared some great memories along the way, it's time to move on. While you're likely quite shocked and understandably saddened by the news, we just know that you'll be back on your feet in no time. We offer you our deepest sympathies and wish you all the best in the future. Now, I thought, as I read this, if I got a letter like that, this would be my response. Dear Lindsay, or who, you know, I wouldn't say yeah. Lindsay. I was thrilled to get your letter. I must say I was glad to see that you hired someone to write it for you, as your spelling and grammar are horrendous.
Of course she would say
the
that.
The truth is we didn't have a good run, and I don't have any good memories of my time with you, but you were right about one thing. It's time to move on. As a matter of fact, I moved on a couple of weeks ago, and I've been dating your best friend. I wasn't sure how to break it to you, so thank you for making it easy, sincerely. And then P.S., I hope we can still be friends.
Hey, you know what? Maybe you could start a company.
There we go. And it'll be the response
and
to the...
Do it for $9.95.
There we go.
Yours is $10.
There we go.
Dollars. Perfect.
You could reply to the
exactly.
breakup letter.
Mm-hmm.
It could be funny. It could be, thanks a lot. I wanted yeah. to do this, you know, just to feel
I'm
like
just curious.
You weren't dumped.
This is really... pretty new. So I'm really curious, like in a year, if they're still going to be around or are people really going to use it?
Well, let's take a vote. Who in this room, we've got two guests we haven't even introduced yet. Raise your hand if you think this service will be around in another year.
I kind of think it will.
I don't. I'm putting my hand
really?
Up. No.
Nobody else does.
No. Janelle is saying no.
Like,
Anne
Marie, you're going to break up with somebody. Why are you going to spend money to do it?
I just think people, you listen, know? People today, they quit
but
their job
trying it,
in a text.
So.
They do everything in a text. So...
Yeah, but I mean, send your own text.
Well, I would never quit a job in a text
oh
either.
Oh, my gosh.
I would always
you know how
give,
many people
like,
I've seen
they quit
well,
a yeah. job in a text?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And these are not kids.
You're not going to quit on me.
Yeah. I'm going to hire them. Dear Denise, it was a great run. Yeah.
Would you ever, Anne Marie, would you ever use that app to break up with someone?
No, I prefer to fight my own battles.
Thank you.
Just me.
Ditto.
Yeah. Okay. What about you, Janelle?
No way.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, see, we've got five women here. And
I'd probably have a little more to say than what they said.
It would cost you 100. Yeah. Can I increase the words?
Right. What's my word count?
Yeah. It's only 100 words.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's there not very many. Count.
No, I know.
Well, from someone who loves to talk.
Well, it's $10 in a text message, so.
Oh.
You know.
All right. Well, you know what? One last thing on this.
Yeah.
What concerns me. Or I find interesting, I guess is a better way of putting it, is that they got all this media attention, and here we are talking about it.
Well, and it was in Skim.
That's true.
It was the first thing they wrote about. So,
all right.
Well, before we go on, though, I have to do a quick shout-out to my son. It's his birthday tomorrow, John Paul. Happy birthday. And my daughter, Rocky, it's her birthday on Saturday. Happy birthday. I love you guys.
Woohoo! Happy. Can I sing?
Go ahead.
We have a great tradition of how we sing happy birthday.
I'm sure you do. You have lots of traditions, but we have to get to our interview.
All right. Well, happy birthday, John Paul. And John Paul was, so his birthday, what's the date?
The 19th.
And
tomorrow.
And
Rocky's is the 21st.
Okay. And Olivia?
She's April 6th.
Okay. So in February.
I know. Don't
you know,
go
they
there.
Say
I
a lot
already
of
know.
Babies are conceived in the winter months because you're snuggling them.
Yeah. Well, okay.
You were snuggling, baby.
We're doing more than that. That's how we got it.
What?
Yeah. I'm not a virgin, Denise.
Okay, wait.
Yeah, okay, come on.
What time is it?
It's What's the Wish time.
What's the wish? What's the way? What's in the way? We're so excited. This segment is dedicated to showcasing the stories of individuals who took a leap of faith and pursued their dreams. They had a wish. They found a way to make it happen. And Jackie and I think not only are their stories unique and interesting, but they're inspiring, and we can learn from them.
Our guest today is a businesswoman who had the courage to step out of her comfort zone as a vice president of a Metro Detroit company to pursue her own dream. She has all the natural characteristics of a successful entrepreneur, such as self-belief, drive, and vision. She's been described by those who have worked with her as highly motivated, attention to details, and very reliable. She is the founder of Seven Stone Management. Welcome, Janelle Stone.
Thank you.
Hi,
thank you.
You guys are quiet over there. I kind of thought they would be a little more like this.
And we should introduce Anne Marie.
And we have Anne Marie here.
And before we started the show, we asked Anne Marie, go ahead.
Because she works for Janelle.
And we said, what do you do for Janelle? And she said...
I said, I do pretty much everything except the plumbing.
Wow. So that sounds like a good job, though. If you don't have to do the plumbing, you're good.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, thank you for being here and listening to us, you know, do our little banter back and forth. And I was hoping you'd pipe up, but did you have anything to add to what we were talking about that you were holding back?
You know, with regards to the Paris, I was there a few months ago, and where some of the attacks happened is where we stayed. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, so... A little frame of reference, it wasn't that long ago, to think about all the contentment that was there at that time and to, then to think about the chaos that happened. But 16 made a great point. It happens everywhere.
Right.
And that was part of kind of my story is when I found gratitude and realized that there was 7 billion people on the earth that all had a story that were all struggling some way or another. And we get noticed through the media only on particular things, right?
Right.
And so when we don't see it, we don't know what's happening. And,
right.
And when we hear about it or we have an ally or all of a sudden, you know, every life is important, basically.
Right.
So why is Parisian lives any different than the African lives or
right.
what's happening in Somalia or what have you? So it's we all have feelings and we,
right.
you know, we all suffer. So
right.
It's tragic and it's sad. And there will always be evil in this world. As
right.
long as there's greed,
right.
there will be evil.
Right.
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's yeah, trying to overcome that.
Right.
And it always has been.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So you just try to surround yourself around the most positive
exactly.
people that you know aren't going to be evil.
Right.
Do you
right.
do, is that what you do?
I do. I mean, my circles are really small, actually. You know, I mean, I might know 10,000 people, but, you know, who I communicate on a daily basis and who I let close to me are very positive people. And if I see that it's toxic, then it's time to go, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I've gotten stronger with that over the years, of course. Because what you are is what you're exposed to in
right.
your thought process and what have you. So,
right.
Now, did you come about that type of thinking over time, or have you always been like that? Were you taught that when you were young?
I think it was learning it when you're in dark places, you know, of you know, how to look for the good. Because what else are you going to do? You know,
right.
to be depressed and be down. My parents were young, and young teenagers when they had me and my sister and back in the early 70s, and we struggled. We had nothing, and they divorced it too. My mom moved on, went to probably 9 different schools, you know, so there was not a lot of consistency, you know, in our upbringing, and not a lot of, it wasn't a silver spoon by any means, you know, so I went through a troubled teenage years because of my exposure, you know, living in not such a great neighborhood growing up in Detroit and parents that didn't pay much attention to their children. And went and spent a few years in youth homes, 4 different youth homes over
wow.
a period of time. Yeah. And so when I was released at maybe shy of 18, I had no high school credits. I had nothing. You know, my education
wow.
stopped at pretty much 7th grade. So I went and in that being, you know, hidden away from society and having to think for myself and having some positive people there saying, hey, you know, life can be better. It's up to your choices. It's not your circumstances. It's what you choose. You know, every day you go right, you go left. And,
right.
And so with that being drilled in my mind, when I got out, I went right back to the old way of living. And then, but it was always there in your head. You know, it's like, I got to do better. I got to do better. I can do anything I want. You know, I just had to have some confidence. And so then at that point, just went and got my GD and went to OCC and got associates, and that got me into U of M, got my bachelor's.
Wow.
And, yeah, and I bought a house during that time, and I was running live music venues, you know, from 20 to 32. So I was at one particular place, the Bullfrog, on Telegraph and 5 Mile for 12 years, and programming that room and operating the whole venue. So it was a great experience, and that's how I got connected in the Detroit music scene, with booking the same artists that I'm booking today in different bands. You know, if you're a musician here, you're a diehard musician.
Yeah.
And so you watch them grow, and you watch them evolve, and some go on tour, and some don't, and some are just doing it for the fun of it, and some, you know, and so, you know, a lot of these relationships that I have with many of the Detroit musicians have been there for over 20 years. So,
and wow, great story.
Let me ask you something. So what did you go to school for when you went to U of M? Was it marketing, PR, entertainment?
No, it should have been marketing.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I actually studied human resource management, which is an HR position. You know,
right.
I'll never be the type of girl to sit in a cubicle and screen and train and implement HR practices for a corporation. I did work for a corporation after I left Bullfrog. I went to Greektown Casino as their beverage manager and entertainment director. And so I programmed the music there as well as overseeing 12 bars and the bartenders and the cocktail
wow.
servers. It's a union house. So it was
right.
a complete different experience than what I was used to at the self-controlled environment, kind of mom and pop kind of place. If you don't want to work, go home. There's a line that people that do want to work, you know.
Right.
So it was a lot of challenges, and you know, I was a female, and so you know, not to pull that card, but it was a challenge for me because it was mostly men that are in these, you know, executive positions there.
Right.
So people like to, you know, have certain personas and judgments about, you know, specific people. So I remember going in and just, you know, your intuition tells you that,
right,
what somebody's thinking when they're looking at you. And with that being said, that's what drives me harder, is when I feel that somebody is judging me for something that I'm not, then I definitely have to prove to myself and, you know, first to myself, of course, and say, no, it's exactly the opposite, you know. So, you know, I was at Greektown Casino for about 3 years, and I got pregnant, carried my first son through there. His name is Gabriel, and he's 5 now. And then
he's adorable, by the way.
Thank you.
You're always on Facebook, the
thank
boys.
You.
We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah. And then I got pregnant with his brother soon after. They're 1 year and 1 day apart, so their birthdays are January 9th, January 10th.
Oh, wow.
So that was really get it done sort of thing. And I was, you know, 35 before I had my first. So I had my fun. I did my time and traveled and got to just to be me. I had a dog. It was me and a dog. You know?
So, you were 35?
Yeah, when I had Gabe, my first.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I was telling them, they say, I think she's like in her late 20s or early 30s. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're looking at your picture going, yeah, somewhere around there. We're trying to figure it out.
Wow. I'm a 75.
Dude, you're old. No, I'm only kidding.
I'm a 1970.
Don't worry about it. Not as old as that.
75,
she's doing
baby.
Something right.
God, yeah. No yeah. kidding. Well, yeah. Listening to... so far what you've said, I would imagine that what you've gone through in the past growing up mm-hmm. has helped you become that stronger
person. Absolutely.
I mean, had you not had those experiences, you might end up being an HR in something that's, mm-hmm. you know, more traditional. Or
And I don't think I'd be as driven.
Yeah.
Because what I did was I made little changes, you know, baby steps. And with each one of them, you get this sense of accomplishment. You look back to something you never thought. Like when I would take a test, I'd be like, oh my God, I know I got a D on that. And I got an A. And so it's something that we, you know, this confidence level that we don't have in ourselves.
Right.
And every one of us has it, you know,
right.
Where you have doubt, you doubt yourself,
right.
you know. And that was what was holding me back from specific things. And you know, I like complacency and I like structure and I don't like change. And then I realized... Actually, you know, we'll go back to that. But once I realized that change is always going to happen,
right.
I'm going through a big change right now. You don't forecast it, but it's inevitable. It's
right.
going to happen. So you just have to prepare to be okay with it and
so
to accept it.
How do you prepare that? I mean, how do you prepare?
You know, I think it's just knowing that things are going to be okay no matter what, because they've always are, right, at the
yeah.
end. You know, we go through these ups and downs, but
right.
knowing that... this is happening, you know, for me and not to me. And
right.
that's the difference. And maybe you don't have the answer and you can't figure it out why. And sometimes we never figure it out when people lose their children and these terrible traumatic things happen.
Right.
You know, what's the answer for that? How can that be happening for me? Right.
Right.
You know, but it's a discovery within yourself for each phase that you go through in your life, and you grow and you become more confident because it made you stronger, because you did deal with that. You were able to get through that.
Right.
And then every normal day after that, you're so grateful for, because you're not going through that, you know. And
well, just the fact, your history of, you know, going back and getting your GED, but then eventually graduating from U of M.
Yeah.
I mean,
I never quit. And I wanted to.
That's huge.
I wanted to. I took 2 classes a semester. It took me 10 years to get a bachelor's degree. I was a homeowner and a business operation manager.
Right.
You know? So I never quit. You know, I wasn't your typical college student. You know, my mom helped me a little, and I paid for the other portion
wow.
of it. So thank God for her. And, you know, it's.
What
it was,
an accomplishment.
I didn't
is.
Want to be stuck in the bars. You know, I
yeah.
was working in the bars since I was 18, and I made great money bartending,
right.
you know, and I built a great network of people. And but I didn't want to be here today, you know, at 40 years old,
right.
working in a bar 5 nights a week.
Right.
And it can only last for so long. You know?
When you meet people that you feel don't know how to get unstuck,
mm-hmm.
What do you say to them? Because this is why we love this segment. It's what you just said a little bit ago. You said, I didn't quit.
Mm-hmm.
And perseverance and that, you know, that just keep... You
the
know,
tenacity.
You just keep, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it depends on each person's situation that they're going through. So I don't know if I'd have a general response. I think it depends on what they need to hear at that time, you know,
right.
based on what they're going through. So, you know, life is hard, and it's not about the cards you're dealt. It's how you play those cards. And that's right. how what I figured out, because I'm going to create my own reality. Otherwise, I would be a depressed, miserable human being, you know, because I went through those years to where it was just ugly. And it can be ugly if your thoughts think it's ugly and everybody's right. out to get you and, you know, right. why me and pity pot and internet. So nobody, everyone in this room has our issues and everybody has their story.
Right.
So it's how we cope with it and to just keep a positive attitude and make, once you start making things happen in your life, good, positive things.
Right.
Your confidence level gets stronger, and things don't seem to affect you no more. They just kind of bounce off of you.
Right.
You know? I'm a very sensitive person, so, you know, I'm learning to have thicker skin.
Oh, see, I would never think you were a sensitive person.
You know
person.
Why? People don't think, well, in the business, I'm not. A business is business. I mean, I'm straight You're, business,
yeah.
you know. And things are going to happen. You know, I've been screwed over, and that one thing I've always made sure is to take care of people. Even if I was screwed over, I'm not going to let them get screwed over. Even if yeah. I have to come out of pocket even more money, just because of the whole integrity thing, you know.
Right.
But, you know, I am a sensitive person. Very. I'm a Cancer.
Okay.
So, you know, Seven Stone has been around for, well, let me track back a little bit. So I was married and had two babies in diapers, and I'm not ashamed to say it. My husband had an affair. And he left, and the babies were 1 and 2, wow. so very young. And I was in a dark place, you know, sitting in a home with these two children on the floor in diapers going, what am I going to do? You know, because now you're on your own and you have two little lives to be responsible for.
Right.
And it wasn't what I thought it was going to turn out to be. So, you know, just that being a mom alone of their needs was
right.
all consuming.
Right.
And then I had to provide for them, too, you know, so. After they got a little bit older, it was hard just to even take them to the grocery store. You can only fit so much groceries in a cart with two
yeah.
babies in a cart, you know?
Right, right.
And so, with car seats anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, it made me stronger. I felt like sometimes I was at the end of my rope and there was days where I'd cry all day, you know? And then out of that came this vengeance of strength, you know, like I am just going to do what everybody thinks I can't do because I'm in this situation sort of thing. And maybe it will inspire and encourage other people because there's a lot of single parents out there. It's not
right.
just moms, you know.
Right.
It's dads too. And when the kids get a little bit older, life is a little bit easier. Well, there's always a phase. They're always going to give you a hard
right.
time. You know?
Right.
But when they're that needy and they're that young and they're toddlers and they're babies and it's a lot of work,
right.
as you all know, you
right.
know. So and to not have a huge support system around you, it makes it even harder. So, you know, by doing this and having a social media following, that sort of thing, people kind of watch you go through it.
Right.
And then see you emerge from it. And then see you, and it makes them feel like, you know what, I can do the same thing.
Right.
Because she's no different than me. We're all the same people.
I don't mean to interrupt you
sure.
here, but I just want to tell you what happened last night at the Detroit Music mm-hmm. Pre-party. I was name dropping everybody who's been on the show and who's going to be on the show because
sure.
I was networking. And I'm not kidding you. I don't think there was one person that did not say something great about you.
Mm.
And I talked to a lot of people. I mean, I went through all my cards. But everybody that I said, oh, and tomorrow we have Janelle Stone. Mm-hmm. I didn't even have to say Seven Stone Management. Everybody's like, oh, my God, I love Janelle. I can't tell you how many people said that. So you have definitely made your mark in that the entertainment
oh for sure
world.
And it's how you treat people
yeah,
yeah. And it's about a reciprocal relationship instead of take and me
right
you know that's business in general, but that's any relationship that you're in,
right?
It's got to be somewhat reciprocal, you know. It has to be reciprocal to where everybody feels their needs are met, you know.
Right.
There's no using going on
right
because there's so much of that.
So let me ask you this. So with everything, you know, you went through and now you're single raising two kids, how did you decide to start your own business? Like, that's a crazy risk.
Well, you know, after, you know, when I left the casino, when I was no longer with Greektown, I worked with another promoter in Detroit. And that was a good working relationship for a few years. It was flexible for me so that I could take care of my children at home and be gone a few days a week with paying for child care and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It got me by. I wasn't making a ton of money, but it bought the formula and it bought the diapers and, you know, it paid for things and the mortgage and everything else. So what happened was there was a pivotal point. I bought the DBA for $7,000, but I really didn't do anything with it. You know, it was sitting there for about 6 months just because it was in my mind. I needed to build some more confidence.
Okay.
How am I going to do this? And it's kind of like a fake it till you make it thing, you know.
Yeah.
I figured if once I get the ball rolling, I can't turn back. And believe me, there was a lot of insecurities with it. It was like, how am I going to do this? These kids are going to start kindergarten. You know, I'm going to be driving, you know, every day. How am I going to operate this business? And that was the problem is I kept questioning myself and doubting myself, saying, and I didn't want to launch something and not be successful because I am kind of, I don't know, social media local figure in this entertainment industry, whatever it is. You know,
you're a celebrity.
No, I'm not a celebrity.
No, yeah, you were. Last night you were a celebrity. You were there, but everybody knew you. They didn't know you at all. I'm sorry, Dave. I did name drop you too. I had to say 19 books. She has 19 books.
That's great. Yeah, so I didn't want to, you know, I was fearful too, you being in the public eye and having a, you know, public profile. What if this goes south and, you know, then I'm not inspiring people. Then I'm not doing what I thought it was going to do. So there was all that was in my mind. So there was a situation where, it was a very dark place for me. My kids were detained from me for a week until the police had to use force to get them. I had no support around me. I did have, you know, my mom and my family. It was a really, really hard 7 days for 6 days for me.
Oh, wow.
So, and when I got them back, the day that I got them back was the day that I decided that I was going to go full speed ahead with this company so that I could afford lawyers, afford this, afford that, you know, and put them into a new school district because they're getting older and do everything out of my power of my body to make a better life for them, you know.
Wow.
And so it all kind of fell in place, you know, and hard work, of course, and finding the right people. Anne Marie's here with me today. Right. And, you know, we at Seven Stone, we have a lot of people that work, but not, you know, they're kind of like subcontracted. You know, we have a great in-house designer, a webmaster. We have photographers. We have production people. We have, you know, writers for press release, all kinds. But Anne Marie's with me day in and day out. And and she's pretty much an operation manager, you know, and wonderful at communication. And so when you find people that know how to deliver and pick up kind of how the business the business model is and what the expectations are for the people that we're working with and what have you. She's a very bright, bright person
now,
and very funny.
How did you meet Anne Marie?
Through Specs Howard. She graduated with a degree from Specs Howard's broadcast media.
And she's being so quiet over there.
Yeah, we're going to let her speak up here.
I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah, she, you know, I went, I have a friend, Doris Hage, who I've known for a while and done some work with, and she's working the internship department basically over at Specs Howard. So the kids that graduate, she helps place them. And so I reached out to her and I said, you know, I'm looking for a really good person to come in and help me. She understood my business and she sent me a few different people and I went through some other people and, you know, some I still work with and some I don't. But as soon as Anne Marie started, it didn't take long to where there was no internship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, okay, you're...
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, this is not an internship. And so it's been great, you know, because you can't do it all. You can't do it all. And then the hope is to grow this company to where, you know, we can employ many full-time people and outgrow, you know, office spaces and keep growing and growing. And create an empire, basically, out of it, to where it can not only provide for myself, but for many other people, and resource wise for the entertainment community or the local businesses in Detroit and whatever. We do a lot with charities, you know. So. Yeah.
Oh, I want to talk about that because I know you've done some great events recently that I read about. But a couple questions that I have for you: one, where did you get the name? I'm always curious how people choose a name. I mean, that's a pretty big thing. So I want to know where you got that.
What does the seven represent?
What does the seven? I know the stone is your last name, obviously. I also want you to tell everybody a little bit more, like, what was your vision? You talked a lot about, you know, and that dam going forward. How long did it take you to come up with the vision of what you wanted to do?
You know, well, the number seven, you know, I like numbers, so we all do. And I said, well, I've got to come up with something that's strong, you know, so numbers are strong. My name, I consider it kind of a strong last name.
Yeah.
It's a rock, it's a stone, you know,
right.
And it's kind of how I'm known. So I didn't want to veer too far away from that. And so seven had different meanings for it. I was born in the seventh month. I have seven brothers and sisters when you combine us all, which is important to me, you know, the steps, the halves, and the biologicals. And so there, you know, that it didn't take long to say that's the number that I want, you know, and to call it seven stone.
I don't know if you're into numerology at all, but seven is also the highest spiritual number.
Yeah,
it's the number that represents spirituality, the highest number.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so great.
It's a good number. It's a good name. I like it. Seven
Thank
stone.
You.
I do
it
too.
It is strong.
You.
I thought.
Yeah. I do
too. I thought that when I heard it. So, seven stone management. Now, tell me, because, you know, she's in that world more than I am, but tell me exactly what you do.
Well, when you say how did you come up with the vision and what, you know, there really was none. And I'm such a structured person and organized person that I felt like, how am I going to open this company if I don't have a business plan in place? You know, because I would open new venues and have business plans in place. And so I kind of shot from the hip for, you know,
wow.
I just, and I'm not used to that. And I was like, it's just going to happen. It's going to flow. It's going to grow. It's going to find its own legs, you know, and don't stress out thinking that this is the way that it has to be, you know.
But you had to know every single.
I had to let go of a lot of control issues, you know. And so, exactly. And didn't know what was going to happen. And when you try to force something to happen and follow that footprint is when you get off the beaten path of creativity and other
right.
things, you know. So,
right.
So basically, I did what I've always done and dealt with musicians, with entertainment, with events, with charities, with models. The modeling thing, what Seven Stone is, real quick, a snapshot. We have an umbrella, and under that umbrella is a modeling division. So when we say models, we have about 250 models that we've brought onto our roster.
And you have some beautiful models.
There's some beautiful people
gosh.
In Detroit. And so, actually, all of Michigan. I mean, and they're in every state, but mm-hmm. we've captured quite a few.
Right.
Really driven women and men. You know, we're still working on building the men roster. A lot of these women are single moms, you know. So when I see that, you know, we always do a research on them before we bring them onto our team. And when I see that, and I see that they're driven and they're trying and they're out there working their butts off to provide and take it a step further, of course, my heart reaches right out to them and says, bring them on board, you know, because everybody needs a chance, you know. And, you know, some places like, well, you know, how flexible can she be when she has children and what, you know.
Yeah.
And so... So we actually have a lot of single moms on our, you know, we have a little bit of everything, but it always makes me feel good to be able to support that and provide income opportunities for them too.
So what you do basically is when you decide if you're going to work with that model or if they become part of your roster, then you find the opportunities for them, right? Mm-hmm. Is that how it works?
People come to you and say, we want models for this
that's
or
right.
that.
That's
and
right.
You-
so we have, yeah, that's right. So we have... we have about 55 active clients right now. And any, you know, some of the bigger ones that we have are like Motor City Casino. We have our girls working there pretty much every day. You know, they're greeting, they're running casino gaming operation promotions.
Oh.
They're interactive with these thousands of guests that are on the floor and helping them understand what they need to do, where they need to go, handing out free gifts, that sort of thing. We have Campus Martius Park, which is more entertainment
wow.
aspect. And again, there's other people programming that too, but we get in where they need us to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Harley Davidson, we have an exclusive contract with ABC Harley Davidson in Waterford. So
wow.
they do a lot of, Jennifer Loberman's a great friend of mine and she's a great marketing person. And they do a lot of events there to promote what they do. And we've kind of coupled our Seven Stone models. It's almost like they've been branded to the venue.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's interesting and it works, you
yeah.
know. So, you know, we do stuff at the Grand Prix. We do Quicken Loans is a great client. Again, it's a lot of private corporate stuff.
Yeah.
So you may not see a lot of promotion on it, but the girls are working and the bands are playing.
And they're getting paid.
And they're getting paid.
Right.
And everybody has a need. And with models, it's the same thing with bands. You've got how many genres? You know, I got an email this morning that needed a bluegrass country band. You know, we don't get that too often, but
okay.
I got 10 that I can, you know, offer up that I know will deliver, you know.
Okay.
And so same with the models. You know, we did a casting. Actually, when we leave here today, we have to go wrap that up, Anne Marie and I.
Oh, yeah.
We casted for a commercial and we needed, you know, specific gender, specific, say the word.
Ethnicity.
Ethnicity. Oh, thank you. I screw it up every time.
I love
as opposed to ethnicity.
Yes.
That's okay. That's how I would say it.
So. We all need a good assistant like you, Anne Marie.
Oh, my God. You know, I graduated with a 3.9 from U of M, and I cannot spell. I cannot spell anything.
Doesn't
I'm constantly
matter.
Looking at her going, and my mom's like, well, Einstein couldn't spell.
Oh,
and I'm
I
always
love
looking
that.
At her going, can you prove this? Or can you, you know, because we all yeah have our
we all have our
faults.
Strengths.
Exactly. Yeah. And
that's
our strengths.
Why we have Rebecca.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So you're so it's a commercial.
Oh yeah, so we cast, you know, they need Asians, they need you know, African Americans, boys, girls, this age, that age. So we go through our roster and we say, and who lives in that area somewhat, right? So that they don't have to drive too long. And we pluck out the most feasible people we think could do the job, and then we just go fishing, basically. That's what I called it yesterday. And we throw the emails out and offer the opportunities to people, and it helps build their resume, it gives them some TV work, and they get paid, you know.
Wow.
So that's, you know, that's more, and we do that for some other clients too, from for some Ford commercials and you know, like the commercials that you see. We also do covers of magazines and print work inside magazines, depending on who and when the calls, you never know when they're going to come in.
Okay.
And then we do a lot of trade shows where the, you know, they're there to most of these models are actually like salespeople, you know, they go in and they're there to represent a product or a service,
right?
And or they can, you know, like we just did a big thing for Children's Tumor Foundation, and everybody dressed up in pajamas and passed out desserts. You
I
know?
Saw yeah, that. That was so
for
cool.
For a wonderful benefit, and it went right along with the theme. So they were really part of the event theme, you know. And so, yeah, it was great. You get to get paid to go throw on slippers
right. Yes.
And walk
right
around and have fun in this great room. You know?
Right.
And so so that's more like the model thing. And I think with the model thing, I have a history of modeling. I'm older now, so I don't really do anything, but I understood it because I had done it. I've
right
done, you know, maybe 7 or 8 covers and in specific events, not so much on, you know, on site stuff. It was more print stuff, but, so I had a frame of reference to it,
right,
you know? And so I think too, the number one thing is that girls trust girls more than they're going to trust a guy
yeah
when it comes to that
oh
sort
yeah
of business,
right,
only when it, you know,
right,
when it comes to that. And so there was a trust factor there, like, you know, oh, and I've had them say like, oh, you know, I'm so glad like you're a girl and I'm talking to
yeah
you, and you know, because, you know, let me take your pictures, honey. Let's do bikini. I mean,
right,
and I'm not saying they're, you know, they're all like that, but even I experienced that as a young girl, you know,
right,
so I know it's out there, you know,
right,
and so, and they get paid no matter what every Monday. There's never a delay. I don't care if I have to rob Peter to pay Paul, people are getting paid, you know.
Yeah. Well, and you look the part too, though, you know. I think it would be different if I was running a modeling agency. They'd be like, Denise wants to know though if there are any opportunities for people her age. Like, do you have any Depends
she
commercials
likes-
or anything like that?
She likes to blame me for her secret wishes.
Oh, shit.
Are you no kidding me? My mom asked me the same question. She's like, you need older models, right? And
yeah
I'm like, no,
yeah
mom, we don't.
Okay, so that's a good point. How do you turn people away
yes
for something like that?
That's
you
one
know
of my questions.
It's really because I am a sensitive person and I'm very empathetic for people. I have a hard time with that. I really do. But I also know that we have a brand. And like
right
anything, it has to be... There's supply and demand, you
right
know. I don't want to bring a bunch of people on board and not be able to offer them opportunities just because I felt bad and that's why I brought them on. You know,
right,
that doesn't make any sense. And it's not doing them a favor.
Right.
It's kind of like a false hope sort of thing. And as we grow, we will be able to expand on what we need, you know, because I'd love to have a children's division. We'd love to have, there's a need for everybody. When you
right
get into casting, it's not just modeling, you know, so there are opportunities for everybody. But again, we have to have developed the clients that have that need. So,
right,
you know, and it's already grown immensely in just, you know, less than 2 years. So.
Right, because you started in July of 2013, I think I read.
I did, but I didn't actually do anything until the end of, well, February 2014. That's
so,
the day that I, yeah, that
okay
I went full speed ahead.
And so that's not that long. And
yeah
you already have that many active
yeah
clients that you're working with.
We do. And, you know, we can't use our team 40 hours a week, of course. You know, that's not what's happening. It's a freelancers. And that's what makes it nice and flexible because they work for other promotion companies and they have, some are nurses and some are working in business offices all day
yeah
and some are stay-at-home moms that just want to pick something up here and there. So, you know, there's so many opportunities. And as we're growing, as long as you deliver a good product or service and people understand to be professional and they're, you know,
right.
We can't be at Anne-Marie and I can't be everywhere to make sure everybody's doing their job, right? So we
right.
just have to have faith. That's where I had to let that control issue go.
Yeah.
And say, you know what? As long as you have clear communication and you give clear direction and you lay out the roadmap and make it easy, then and you set your expectations, which really aren't that high. It's basic, you know.
Right.
You'll find out who's in it and who's not in it. And believe me, we've had to weed through our team.
Yeah.
You know, and
what's the hardest part about what you do? What do you find the most challenging, again, being a relatively new business?
No sleep.
which is one of my other questions. I'm always curious, you know, when I meet people on an airplane, I like to ask them, you know, what do you do? Because I'm always astonished at all the different jobs that are out there and things I've never heard of, and what do you do, and what does a typical day look like? Mm-hmm. So how many hours a week do you work?
Oh, God. I don't know. Probably 100,
okay.
You know.
Yeah, it doesn't really stop because we're getting emails like,
it's 24/7.
All hours of the night.
Do you ever shut it off completely?
No.
Not yet.
No, not even on vacation. No.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
Right.
You know, I'm okay. And my kids, they're balanced very well. And believe me, I'm with them. I drop them and make their eggs every morning, every single morning. We're together for a couple hours before I drive them to school. Two different schools. One goes to a early learning preschool sort of thing. And then the other's in kindergarten. So, you know, by the time they're done, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I literally have maybe 5 hours in the office before I need to get back on the road and go pick them up from their schools. And then we're together. So,
and it does seem like you have good balance. And just from looking at your Facebook page, mm-hmm. Because on your Facebook page, you have your events that mm-hmm. you're involved in, or you have some great affirmations that you're always posting. Mm-hmm. I absolutely love them. Or you have great stories about your kids.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that is her world right there.
That is my world.
That's it.
That
right
is my
there.
World. And when I see these affirmations, you know, I don't typically share them right away unless they're meaningful to me. When I read it and I feel that in my heart, that it's something that I can relate to strongly,
yeah.
I feel the need to share it because I wish I would have heard that before.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's like, oh, man, if I would have heard that or thought, you know, if it was put to me that way before,
right.
You know, then maybe I would have a different attitude at that time, you know. So I try to be positive.
What do you feel is the most, like, what do you want to teach your kids? I mean, what do you feel is the most important thing for them to learn from you? You said earlier that when you were in foster homes, you did have people in your lives that were saying things to you like, don't give up, and you have choices,
yeah.
and you can...
You know, they weren't foster homes. It was a youth home for
home.
Troubled... Yeah, like when you can't live on your own at home because you're troubled. Yeah. There was some you know, particular counselors in that. You know, your parents can tell you the same thing, but it's different when you hear it from somebody else.
Right.
You know? So what do I want to teach them? You know, number one is how to deal with this crazy world that we live in and know that it's going to be okay no matter what. And you're going to deal with emotion. They're not going to go away. And life is what happens when you're making other plans sort of thing, you know.
Right.
Believe me, like just this week I've gone through a really big change of my future. I try to live in the moment instead of thinking about the future all the time too, because that's hard to do. You know? Really hard to do. Yeah, and worry. I'm such a worry wart. And it's like, you know, if you can't change it, then you can't worry about it because you can't change it. You know, and if you can change it, then change it and stop worrying.
And usually it's what we think is going to happen that's worse than what actually happens.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely.
And if we could just get rid of that.
Yeah,
you
and
know?
It's not easy,
no.
You know, and that's why, you know, a lot of people drink and a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of reasons for, as I'm looking at your mimosas.
Our drink of the week.
That's great.
We're getting close here.
Sure.
But, I know. I'm sorry. We need to
buzz
go
kill.
Longer. But I do. Buzzkill. Okay. I do want to ask you a couple of things, though. So Seven Stone Management, what, if somebody wants, what service besides
modeling.
Like for modeling, you have the jobs, you have bands. We have bands, DJs.
We have impersonators. You
okay.
know, stilt people.
So basically, anybody that is in entertainment, so to speak, right?
Yes.
If they want, sort you're an agent. Sort of,
we're an
right?
agent. We are an agency.
Okay,
management is the agency.
Okay.
Yeah. So, we have that. We also offer we get hired to do a lot of marketing and promotion. So let's say we're not providing a model, we're not providing entertainment. but they know we have a strong social media base, and we have a really fat email base that we have that's an active email base. We have an extremely great media outlet. We do our press releases, so we have, 1,700, Amory?
Yeah, give or take.
Give or take, around 1,700 direct media contacts, and these are active media contacts. It's not, you know, because they switch over a lot, you know, in positions and such, so we stay on top of that. So we get hired to do that and compose a press release and blast it out and follow up or try to get some, you know, media for specific initiatives or grand openings or whatever it may
be. Okay, so for any type of business, it doesn't have to be in entertainment or anything. I mean, it could be a salon that opens up or a pizzeria. Uh-huh. They can contact you.
It could be anything, but we also are careful what we brand ourselves to. You know, and I'm not saying anything negative about a salon or a pizzeria.
You don't take anything, but anybody could call you. You would look at it at what they wanted.
It's got to make sense for our company, too, you know, and for them because, you know, otherwise, I mean, we could just, you know, pimp that out all the time, and it wouldn't make any sense, you know, and then people get over.
So it has to fit the umbrella and the brand. So how do people get a hold of you, and if they want to find out if, you know, there's a possibility they could work with you?
Sure. Well, we have our website, which is www.sevenstonemanagement.com.
The number seven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there's a contact, you know, tab on there. We also encourage, now that we're talking about the website, we have band submissions, DJ submissions, and model submissions. So it's a one page where anybody, anywhere, can go on and upload their information that we require to take a look at to see if we can add them to our team and
there
give them
go,
some
Jackie.
Opportunities. So
my Depends commercial.
Yeah.
Is the entertainment submission thing up yet? The entertainers?
We
have a tab for it.
Yeah,
I just
I'm not
don't
quite
know
sure
if we have the submission up yet.
So basically, we're trying to build that more and more so that we can showcase local talent
and
help elevate them and give them opportunities with high foot traffic areas or corporate events or whatever. So,
and what about companies and businesses that want to work with you? What same thing? Go to the website and email you.
Most of it's a referral thing, and someone will just connect me on an email and say, "Hey, I want you to meet Janelle or what have you." And
much word of mouth, don't you?
Because it really is. You can't trust, certain people, and it's hard to go in blind. If you deliver and you've been known to deliver, then and you can, and it doesn't take much to ruin that reputation. We all know that, it takes forever to build it and almost nothing to destroy it. So
sounds like you're doing a really good job of building it. And
that's congratulations.
Not the first time that
for such a short period of time of being on your own, because I think even though you've been in this business a long time, it's different when it's on
yours.
Your shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
It's so different.
You know, before I have something, I know you do a lot of events, and I had read about the Children's Tumor Foundation at Cobo Center, but one of them that I was intrigued by, you're putting together a calendar to benefit U.S. veterans. Is that true?
That's right. We just, I've been thinking about it for about 6 months, but then I started coming up with some other ideas, and then this creative director reached out to me at the same time that I was brewing it in my head, and timing is everything where things just start to come together. So what in the longer, we don't want to rush it. We want it to compete with the best, in the world. So it's probably not going to come out until 2017 because it's going to take some strategic planning and budgeting, and we've got some really great ideas on it. It's going to be a real creative process for us.
So cool.
It's going to be fun. And then, of course, we're going to tie that to the veterans. And I have a friend who knows every, nonprofit veteran charity and can tell me which ones are really good and which ones, may not, where the money's going to go for the best buck.
When it gets to that point, hopefully. Promote that.
Absolutely.
And one last thing. You were, this past Saturday, you were collecting coats. Talk about that briefly.
Well,
it's the season.
It is a season. And you see, Dr. Nandi is he's on Channel 7, WXYZ. He's their resident doctor. He also works at Beaumont. Great family man, great doctor. This is his third year. I believe it was a third year. I helped him last year, but this year I was a little bit more involved with him, and I booked most of the entertainment we booked for him. And that was
eight
a lot.
Bands.
We had 17 performances in 6 hours. So it was a miracle.
Where was that?
Hard Rock Cafe, Detroit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so people were encouraged, and they have a great support team around them. He's got a lot of followers, and he does an nationwide TV show. And so people dropped off coats and coats and coats and coats and coats. And Dr. Nandi and his wife and his team, her name's Callie, they all physically go hand them out to these shelters, you know, one by one.
Wow.
So to help women, children, men. It's an amazing cause. And a lot of artists came through. And
love it.
Yeah, it flowed that great.
Cool.
So,
Well,
you're doing a lot of good things.
Yeah, and thank you for being here. I know how crazy your schedule is, but what a great story. And we're going to stay on you. We're going to watch you. We're going to stalk you.
Yeah. And, next you Facebook stalk.
Couple
I
years. Well, I mean, maybe next end of next year or something. Love to have you back and see what's going on and where you're at.
Sure. What changes?
And again, it's 7 Stone Management, the number 7. You can check out social media, the website, Facebook, Twitter.
Yeah, we got Instagram, Twitter.
Everything.
Everything, of course. Yeah. We're a promotion company.
Right.
And I wanted to say thank you. One more shout out to Anne-Marie.
She's been
so helpful to me.
I'm sorry, I
hoarded the mic.
No.
You're
going to
make me blush.
No, you so fit into this whole idea
segment.
of what's the wish and what's the way and everything you said. So
It's all possible. It's
you know
all
what?
Possible. You don't need other people to help you. I mean, it's great, but you can... You know, you got to make your dreams come true. And I like to say now it's not a dream, it's a plan. If you tell yourself it's a plan, you know, because, you know, and you guys are doing a wonderful thing, you ladies here are really.
Thank you.
By talking about such an important thing that can help people, you know, you hear all these stimuli coming at you all day long, but when a positive message comes along, what a difference.
Thank you. Well, I'll tell you what I was thinking when you were talking. I could see you in 5 years doing a TED Talk. You know, when your empire's huge and telling
the
whole story.
TED Talk.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm talking about, you know?
Yeah, it was
so
amazing.
So, okay, we do have to wrap it up. So we have to do our traditional fortune cookies.
Okay. All right.
Toss our cookies here. And when we toss the cookies, whichever way the prongs are facing means that that fortune was meant for you. And we don't want to break them.
Jackie tosses them so much that... Oh,
so we're grabbing one.
Here, this is for you. I'm tossing it.
There you go.
Sure. This one's.
Where's Jessica's? That's Jessica's right there.
Yeah. Sorry, Jessica.
No,
you're hurting everyone here.
No.
Okay, while we're opening these up and we're going to read our fortune, a couple things. We have a sip on this, and we designed the drink for our guest Denise, who is such a great drinker. Came up with the drink for you today, Janelle. What's the drink?
I'm a great entertainer.
Oh, that's
what
right.
I am.
Right,
please.
Right. What's the
it's
drink?
It's very simple, and it's called an apple cider mimosas. And it, you know, it's funny because I wanted to come up with something that had stones in it. Or seven different, you know,
liquors.
Yeah. But instead, I just came up with something very simple and elegant because... Everything you told me about Janelle.
Perfect.
The elegant part anyway. But what it is, and I did think it was a great holiday this time of year drink. So all it is apple cider champagne. But one of the things that I loved is that you rim the glasses in the either gold or silver sprinkles.
Which I loved.
Garnish with an apple.
And it's great. It's a good drink.
It's good. It's simple. It's
thank you.
Not too sweet.
So okay.
Cheers.
We're gonna read our fortunes right here, Ian. But real quick, next week we have our Thanksgiving show, and it's gonna be the art of entertaining and talking about gratitude and
all sorts
everything
of
else.
So turkey tips.
Yeah,
and, we have
tips.
A trivia quiz we're going to do,
yay,
and we're not gonna overwhelm you though.
Yeah.
I felt like that Thanksgiving show should be about keeping it
simple,
about family and
right.
friends, you know, good
and,
things.
Yeah,
and, yeah.
And also, we do end every show, we dedicate a song to our guest. Usually, if it's a musician, we play one of their songs.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, Janelle, we have I'm Every Woman. That is your song today.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. So, Anne-Marie, let's read your
Janelle
fortune.
Dozed off there.
I was reading an email. I'm so sorry.
Your phone's blown up over there, Janelle. Put the phone away.
No. I know. Put the damn thing down.
Hopefully it's all her followers telling her how wonderful she sounded on the radio.
Speaking of that, though, I am getting... Big John said to say hello to Janelle. He just absolutely admires you.
Oh, hey,
John. And John is a cool guy. He's always...
And our CEO... Wait a minute. Becca said that was a fantastic What's the Wish segment. Great show.
Aw, thanks, yeah. Becca.
Thanks, Becca Boo.
Okay, so we read our fortunes, and we do have to end it with in bed.
Yes.
Yeah, look at her. Okay,
I was hoping. It's something I just learned. And yeah.
Yeah, okay, so recently. Why don't we let our guests go first?
Okay.
Oh, my goodness.
This is Janelle's.
Oh, my goodness. How embarrassing.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Okay. Your talents will be recognized and suitably rewarded in bed.
Okay, Emery.
There is a prospect of a thrilling time ahead for you in bed.
I want that one. Yeah.
It's mine back home.
Oh, okay,
go
Jessica.
Ahead, Jessica.
Oh, this one's really awkward. You will be recognized and honored as a community leader in bed. So,
well, there's
you know,
all
lots of stuff,
all different ways to move up in the world, you know,
in bed.
Yeah. Go ahead, Jack. Mine is golden investment opportunities are arising in bed.
Ooh, we'll play on.
I'm going to be a hook.
Around. Right, you will travel far and wide, both for pleasure and business.
Oh, yeah.
In bed.
In bed. All right. Thank you again, Janelle Stone.
Thank you for having us.
Stone Management and Anne-Marie. Yeah. Thank you so much.
I wanted to ask her what she liked working, you know, but we'll talk about that after the show.
I know. Okay.
What she liked most about.
We have I'm Every Woman by Whitney Houston, dedication song for Janelle Stone.
Remember, sometimes your only available transportation
is a leap of faith.
Thanks for taking a leap of faith with us.
Happy hump day.
This is a previously recorded episode.